Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Good?
We're good.
All right, we're good. What's going on? 98.5 The Sports Hub 2018 Hoosier Caddy Classic live at the Atkinson Resort and Country Club here in Atkinson, New Hampshire. I'm Christian Arkin in for Beadle today alongside Mr. Scott Zolak. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning.
What's going on, Zol?
How you doing, Christian?
I'm good.
Called you Oh, God, that's weird. Did I call you Christian?
You did.
No, I'm just calling you Arkin.
Arkin is what I'm used to.
Yeah.
That's fine. Whatever works.
Yeah. This
How
place
been?
Is odd. This place is sweet.
Yeah. We got a nice little setup right here. View
sure
of the
do.
18th green, yeah. View of the bar. We got everything. Everything we need is right here at arm's
everything
length.
Everything we need is right here.
Yeah.
And thanks to our good friends up here at Atkinson for having us up here. And, of course, Maz does a hell of a job with this golf tournament each and every year. Near and dear to his heart. Already saw him. He's excited. I think he and Hardy are going to play before the actual. Now, wait a minute. Our tournament tees off at 1:30?
Yeah.
There's nobody on the course right
I don't
now.
See a soul out there. Right
they could have teed off at 8 a.m.
Could have.
Yeah, coulda, shoulda.
What do you do? I mean, what can you do? We got
a good time. It's gonna be a good time up here today.
It certainly will. There's a lot of great prizes here, great sponsors, all the rest of that. We'll tell you all about it over the course of the afternoon. If you're on your way up here, make sure you hurry up, get here in time, because it's gonna be very crowded very shortly. And we got a lot to get to today. Obviously, Red Sox closing out the first half of their season. We're to the All-Star break with them. Tons of games over 500, 4.5 games up on the Yankees. So I think a lot of people are, especially with the recent influx of grand slams and important. Moments in the games, people are feeling this Red Sox team right now, but I still feel as though, and I think you'll probably agree, that no matter what this team does, and no matter where they are, and no matter how great and exciting these games have been here in June, July, May, April, etc., you can't quite get all the way behind them yet, and we'll explore some of the reasons why maybe the absolute
yeah
and it's tough now. You know, we're in an era now with Red Sox baseball where it seems like, okay, you know, what have you done for us lately? We all remember back in 2003-04 when there was, you know, this big long drought and everyone was really into it, and there was this sort of culture war with Red Sox fans, mm-hmm. with the hardcore fans and the pink hats, and that's just sort of all gone right now. I'm not really sure what to make of Red Sox Nation these days.
Jim asked the question before he went on air. You know, did the grand slam, not only by Bogarts, but you had the one by Betts earlier in the week, the walk off.
Right.
Does that get people going? And I still think no. I still think no, and I honestly think that because it's wait and see until the playoffs. Because honestly, I mean, Rick Porcello did not have a good start going into the break.
He had an awful
nor
start.
Did David Price, as we expected. I know Price settled down a little bit, but it was an okay start. It didn't deserve a standing ovation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my God, if your expectations for this staff is to have those type of starts, and that's what brings people to their feet, then you're going to be one and done. You're going to be one and done in the playoffs, and that's really, I think, where we're at. We know this team's good. We know they're going to score runs. We know they're going to get there. But can you beat New York or can you beat Houston in the playoffs? And until you do it, the answers aren't – they're not there.
I know.
They really aren't.
And I feel like in some ways that's a little bit unfair. Like you can't enjoy anything. You can't like what's going on. You can't go to the games and cheer and root and have fun.
Well, sure you could.
You know, but I know I'm saying. But like in
I think
terms
the games are more of a more events than they are actually games.
That's another thing. That's another very sort of important part about this.
Right.
And the Red Sox, sort of their fans, the idea that, you know, going to a game used to be something different than what it is now. And also the fact that now we've got a couple of World Series in the pockets over the last 14 years or so. We got three of them. And it's not quite as urgent as it used to be. There isn't that sort of sense of urgency rallying the troops together here. Now it's kind of like, well, what have you done lately? And what's this team done lately? They've gotten bounced in the first round after winning the division. Last year, the year before, they go to the playoffs. They don't do anything. I mean,
right.
You really have seen this team shrivel up and die in the postseason the last couple of years. And I think Red Sox fans are right to sort of look at this and say, well, what's different now? And I'm not really sure that a whole lot is different now. J.D. Martinez is a big positive impact on this lineup. He's been tremendous, obviously. But what's different about the starting rotation from last year?
Nothing.
What makes you feel better about
Nothing.
Them? Is there anything? I mean, you just listed them off. Price, you know, is going to be a puddle in September and
well,
October.
On. I mean, Rodriguez is having a hell of a year. And you
sure.
see the way he landed on that right ankle?
That's terrible.
He's lucky he didn't break the damn thing. And that could be a high ankle sprain. That could be with him for a while. Look how long he's been out with other things, you know, whether it's the knee location, you know, the location of the kneecap where John Farrell goes over the talk talking about it sliding in and out of the joint. God forbid he can't give you anything here. And I guess Cora said he's going to be out for a while here.
Yeah, Cora saying he's hoping that he can pitch again.
That's
this
insane.
Year. This year.
Jesus.
And even if he was healthy, and of course we hope he is, but even if he was healthy, he only gives you six innings. Okay, so like when Eduardo Rodriguez pitches, you need to make sure that your bullpen's intact because if you don't have your eighth inning guy rested, if Kimbrel's pitched three games in a row, all of a sudden, you know, you have to patch it together from the seventh to the eighth to the ninth and
right.
beyond whatever that is. And as good as Rodriguez has been through those six innings, that's all he gives you. Rick Porcello, I have no expectation that he's going to be good in the playoffs.
Right.
Why would you think that? David Price, you know, is going to suck. And even Chris Sale, who has been awesome this year, just like he was last year and the year, you know, all his career, basically. You get to the end of the season, and there's a track record with this guy. I wonder if there's anything that this team can do, that these pitchers can do, that anyone can do,
I mean,
that's going to sort of shake some of this. I just don't see it.
You know, and you chuckle at the people defending it. Oh, baseball, look at this. You people say this team's boring. Nobody ever said they're boring.
They're not boring.
It's just you know what they are, and it's sort of the way at times we look at the Patriots, right? It's the old Dan Shaughnessy argument.
Yeah.
March of the tomato cans. Call me when it's a divisional round. Why is it bad to do that with football? But I mean, why is it okay to do that with football? But why is it bad if you refer to the baseball team that way? See, I look at them both the same.
I agree.
I don't know what it's going to be until you fix what your errors are. Is this and we'll get the Patriots today too. We're going to do a lot of football,
sure.
folks. We are a week away from being down in Foxborough, which is awesome. Football season's almost here, but we sit here and we ask the same questions. Is the defense going to be better? We'll get into all that stuff. Later, but we know they're a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
We sit here and we know the Red Sox are a playoff team.
Yeah.
So why is it a bad thing to sit here and say, you know, wake me when the playoffs start.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of how I feel about them. I really do.
It's sort of and it's also a long slog of a season. We know that. I mean, that's always been sort of an issue with the
sport.
But
that's baseball.
It's always been that. But, yeah, I mean, now that you have – and here's the other thing. It's the competition level. What did we say the first month of the season, right? They played the Rays, I don't know, 100 times it seemed like. Every single game was against Tampa. And the Red Sox got off to a historic start.
Right.
The best start they've ever had in the history of the franchise. And what did everyone say? Well, let's see him do it against someone other than Tampa. You know, Tampa's one of the better, lesser teams in the American League right now. They're over 500. They don't even have a starting rotation. Outside of four teams in the American League, five maybe if you want to count Oakland, there's nothing. They're all tomato cans. They're
yeah.
worse than that.
It's
pathetic what's
it's
going
sad.
On
it's
in
a,
the American
It's a three-team race in the American League and maybe a fourth if you throw Cleveland into the mix. But who the hell knows what Cleveland's going to be in another month?
Yeah, you know, it's three. And Seattle, I guess, is in the mix as well. But, I mean, other than that, the rest of these teams have nothing to play for. Several teams are so bad that they're looking at some of the worst records in the history of Major League Baseball. Kansas City, Baltimore could both tie for the worst record that any team's ever had. And they're just an example of what's going on here in the AL. Now, that's not necessarily the Red Sox fault. They can't, you know, they're not the GMs in charge of these other teams. They don't set the schedule. They don't do any of that stuff. They just have to play who they play. I think it's the fault of the owners of some of the other teams in the American League and the GMs and people just not spending money or doing the right thing for their fans. But that's not what the Red Sox are doing. You can't blame Red Sox ownership for that. So that's sort of where I am with this. Price and Porcello both melting down recently. I know the trade deadline's coming up as well. So we'll talk a little bit about what some of the
Price got a standing ovation. Don't say he melted down.
Oh, he did though. I mean,
that's the weirdest part of this. That guy got a freaking standing ovation the other day.
I know. I think people were just like still charged up about the Mookie Betts thing because the Grand Slam was like a couple innings before that and the fans were just so excited and charged up and really kind of engaged. Like that's another thing. Jones and I talked about this is that, you know, there's not real much engagement with Red Sox fans in this team. Them standing up and cheering for David Price as misguided and kind of soft as I thought that was.
It's kind of stupid.
Did show some engagement at the very least. That's something. You know, I mean, you got to kind of pick your battles here. But, yeah, that did show something. I didn't like what it showed. But at least you got Red Sox fans who aren't just falling asleep on the couch watching the team every night.
But, I mean, I told Beadle this the other day, too. I think it's maybe the fans are smarter than we give them credit for because they're trying to give this guy a backbone because he doesn't have the ability to establish one himself.
Yeah,
so they're trying to create one for him.
Could be that. Trade deadline's coming up. We'll talk about some of the targets there. Some roster comparisons from some of the other great Red Sox teams in recent history. We've got lots of Patriots to get to as well. We are live from the Hoosier Caddy Classic here at Atkinson Resort and Country Club in Atkinson, New Hampshire. Arkan in for Bertrand. Here's Zolak and Bertrand right back after this.
98.5 The Sports Hub has taken over the Atkinson Resort and Country Club. It's Zolak and Arkan.
Complete with tension and biting humor.
On Boston's Home for Sports.
All right, back here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. We are live from Atkinson Resort and Country Club up here in Atkinson, New Hampshire. It's the 2018 Hoosier Caddy Classic. Zolak Bertrand, Arkan in for Beatles. Zolak back from vacation. Jim Louth alongside as well. They're treating us very well up here in Atkinson.
I was on vacation.
You weren't?
No.
Where were you? I thought you were off this weekend.
What do you mean?
I thought you were
off weekends.
I know, but I thought you were on vacation.
Jim, what the hell's going on? Was I on vacation?
Were you not just on vacation?
No.
I
worked all week.
Everybody's on vacation.
What drugs are you on? What do you think? I go on vacation every weekend? Yeah, I don't work weekends.
You get a warrant, first of all.
I'll tell you what I did, though. We saw whales.
Really?
It was awesome. All over the weekend.
Was it like a whale watch?
No, we just took the boat, went over past P-Town, and it was awesome. Big suckers, man. Yeah, you gotta go out there and you gotta be quiet and you let the boat sit. You turn the motor off and phew, you could hear the spouts.
Wow,
squirting up, and then all of a sudden they start. I guess they call it breaching.
When they do that, yeah, when they jump up around and stuff.
And I also learned that the bow is the front, the stern is the rear of the boat.
Instead of
making it easy for people, like if I get 10 people here at Atkinson Country Club, and I said, "What's the name of the front of the boat?" You would know where I'm talking. You know, I would say go to the front of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
You would know where to go to. If I say go to the back of the boat, you would know where to go to.
Sure.
Instead of, why do you have to say stern, bow, forward is one?
Port and starboard.
Port. Yeah. I don't know what that means.
Left is front, port, starboard is right.
But do you know where front, back, left, and right are?
Yeah.
So why are we going to be fancy?
I don't know. It's the way of the ocean.
It's confusing.
Way of the sea.
Makes no sense.
That's how they do it out there in the.
Yeah.
And you know what? In this environment that we're in right now, I'd imagine people probably know the nautical terms. But that's just a stereotype I'm making right now. 617-779-0985. That is your phone number. Again, we're live here at Atkinson Resort and Country Club for the 2018 Hoosier Caddy Classic. And we're talking Red Sox with you. Let's go to the phones. Talk to CJ. He's in Dorchester, our new home that we're not at right now. What's up, CJ? How you doing? Can't hear CJ. All right.
Nice.
We'll go ahead and pop CJ on hold there. Is that how you do that? Yeah, CJ's on hold. Okay. we'll get back to the calls in a minute once we get this all straightened out. In the meantime, a couple just random thoughts here from the first half. As we get up to the trade deadline here, Zoe, is there a move that this Red Sox team can make? Is there any acquisition that they can have that you think will pull in fans and get people sort of thinking, maybe this year will be different?
I mean, other than Machado, no. Machado's the only one.
Yeah.
But you really don't want to give up what you're going to have to give up just to get that guy on a rental. You remember the year they got Pomerantz? I mean, I don't know. They may have to go out and get another arm based on maybe not having E-Rod here for the second half.
Even with E-Rod, your
eighth inning issues and your bullpen issues all of a sudden may have to be put on a back burner because, you know, you got a pitcher that's down. One of your better pitchers this year.
Yeah.
He's been damn good. He's been really good.
He's been terrific. He's on pace to win 19 games, or he was before
name.
He got hurt.
There's no name you're going to go get that's going to ignite a fan base.
Yeah.
You already got those guys.
Especially if it's like an eighth inning guy. Like, there's not a lot of eighth inning guys out there that you pick up, and, like, Red Sox fans are going to go, wow, like, that's the guy. All right, we're going to the World Series now. Like, Addison Reed last year was a very good bullpen pickup, and he pitched well here. The year before that, Brad Ziegler was another one. They needed someone in the eighth inning. It's kind of a thing with Dombrowski teams, you know. They need eighth inning pitchers.
And I think this speaks volumes, too. You know, Benintendi didn't get any All-Star game. Does he deserve to be an All-Star? Probably.
Yeah.
So he was part of the
– didn't win that fan vote.
How do you not win that fan vote if you're Andrew Benintendi? Does that say something about, you know, what it's thought of locally or the way – I mean, 10 years ago, Jim, you have any Red Sox player out there, does that guy get in? I mean, Seattle, The fan base in Seattle.
Hideki Okajima got in at the fan vote.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
Okajima
got in.
The seventh inning guy.
I mean, but my point is Benintendi is one of your better younger players, sure. One of your more popular. You ask me, who's the core of this team? It's Betts. You got to throw Bogarts in there because he's been around for so long. We're waiting for that guy to explode. Mm-hmm. And it's Benintendi from a youth standpoint.
Yeah.
How the hell does he not get voted in?
Yeah.
And they went on a massive campaign.
I know.
They were pumping it. The Patriots were pumping it. They were even hashtagging it, vote Benny. He didn't get in.
Brock Holt had that big head he was carrying around,
well,
the Benintendi head.
I mean, I wouldn't vote for it just because of Brock Holt.
Oh, so you thought the Brock Holt thing worked against
it's
him.
It's the Olympic factor. You know what you do? You don't put Brock Holt on it, okay? When you go after Kevin Durant, you leave Kelly Olynyk on a freaking dock. Mm. You don't want to see him walking down the street with his hat on backwards.
Yeah.
And that hurts.
Hadn't thought of that. All Brock right. Holt's been pretty good this year. Your friend. Your buddy.
Yeah, I mean, but he's he's a utility guy.
He is.
He adds value. Nice, valuable player.
A little bit. Not a ton. He's been okay this year.
But you understand? I mean, the fandom, I don't think is there, obviously, as it once was.
I think it's smarter, too. The fandom's smarter. People don't care about All-Star games. They care about World Series. They don't care about the other stuff.
Yes.
People cared about that stuff.
And I hated that Bergeron thing, too. Remember when Bergeron, you had to vote for him to get on, was it the cover of the video game?
Oh, yeah.
That was stupid.
NHL 17 or whatever
Ray,
it was.
Vote Bergy.
Yeah. That was pretty cheesy, too.
We're better than that.
Benintendi, though, that's an odd one to me. Because, you know, you talk about, like, young players, exciting young players, even like a guy like Mookie Betts, who we all love and who really is not a lot is known about him. He doesn't have a lot of edge to him. That thing where he hit the Grand Slam and started dancing around the bases was one of the first times he was
like
really
that, acting
like a real superstar, and people love that. Benintendi's a little more like that. You know, he's sort of this young guy, and, you know, girls love him, and he's, you know, really kind of coming up quick here and was almost included in the trade for Chris Sale, but Dombrowski was smart enough to keep him on the team.
Maybe he shouldn't cut his hair.
Maybe. That could have had something to do with it. The Joey Lawrence locks definitely had that Q factor. But yeah, you know, in terms of Red Sox fans and engagement, that's a great example right there. You know, Red Sox fans can scream and yell and talk about, oh, no, we're the same as we've always been. We love this team, and you haters out there just don't understand baseball. Well, then why isn't Andrew Benintendi an All-Star? If you guys are so engaged,
right.
If you're so, you know, into this, then
just
how come this young 22-year-old kid who's having a monster of a year, how'd he get beat by Gene freaking Segura out there in Seattle, who's a good player, by the way, but who the hell is he? You know, the Mariners fans don't care. No one goes to the Mariners games. Like, they're a football town and a soccer town. That's what they are. Boston, it used to be a baseball town. That's how I remember
it. You would think Benintendi, household Red Sox name.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an easy one.
You would think so.
Him, Betts, and Bogarts.
Speaking of household names, Mookie Betts, in his first half, there's been a lot written about it this week, though. Comparisons to Ken Griffey Jr. I saw a comparison to the early years of Barry Bonds. We're talking about a guy here who is who's putting together a season right now that is above and beyond what I expected after his sort of down season last year. We could be talking about the next great Red Sox, really, like the face of the franchise for a long, long time. And considering all of that, he's been here a couple of years now. What do we really know about Mookie Betts? He likes the bowl. That's about it. I don't know anything else about him.
It's not his real name.
Right. His real name's Marcus, but like in 2004, I knew everything about everybody. I knew about Trot Nixon and Mark Bellhorn Miller and all these guys.
But
and now
you wanted to know more.
I guess.
Yeah.
Is that me? Is because I'm older now? I don't care as much? Or is it the team?
Jim had it on the head, too. I mean, we're in a different day and age now as fans in this town. You know, yeah, why we get so excited about the Celtics? Because realistically, you got a chance to get into the NBA Finals and potentially win it. We don't know that, but
right.
Patriots are in it every year. Bruins looks like they're trending the right way. Looks like they're on the way up. They've been there. They've been in the playoffs. Finally won a playoff series. Other than that, I mean, we expect this team to be there at the end, and they got to win a series, and then I think this fan base will go nuts.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. I can't imagine that they wouldn't. I don't think it's that apathetic now where it's like, we'll just win a World Series or else we don't care. It's like, no, win a playoff series.
Yes.
Show up in the playoffs. You know, how about one of you four starters actually pick up a win in a playoff game? That'd be a good place to start.
So you talk about, you know, Betts and the type of year he's having, and I heard Maz on the Baseball Porters, number one baseball show in his town, by the way. You hear him talk about the type of year when you combine it for Betts and JD Martinez, that those guys, based on this type of year, are having a better year than anyone that there was with Ortiz and Manning.
Yeah.
Mentally, regular season, you think about it, you know, no. You say automatically no, but on paper, yeah. But it doesn't feel that way.
No. And also, those guys won World Series. And Manny Ramirez was a World Series MVP several times.
I think the reason people are leery to really jump on it, too, is that, like you said, they got to win.
Yeah.
Manny did that for like 6, 7, 8 straight years. Had those type of years.
Mm-hmm.
And until you do that, same thing with Ortiz. You know, you really can't compare that. And I know on paper it looks good. It looks really good.
It looks great. It certainly does. And I think that's something that, you know, Red Sox fans, if they're trying to build a case for why you should care more about this team, that's a good start right there. Yeah. Well, look at these two guys. They're just as good right now this season as Manny and Ortiz were in any one season that they had. Well, that's fine. And that's certainly something to get excited about when you go to the ballpark for your one game a year coming down from Maine or New Hampshire, whatever it is. But if you're watching on a day-to-day basis and you're invested in what this team does and what their future is, it's still there's just not enough there to think that this is going to be different. 617-779-0985. That is your phone number. We got the headlines back in Dorchester.
Who's there, Sarge?
From our good friend Sarge Mike Riley. What's up, Sarge?
Boys? How you doing?
Hey, Sarge.
Happy Monday.
Sorry you couldn't make it out here today.
Well, that's okay. Someone's going to hold down the fort at the new place, right?
Sarge, you realize if something goes wrong, it's the Sarge show.
Yeah, I was just talking to Rick Radzik about that. He's in the house. We'll have Riley and Radzik here.
Riley and Radzik.
That'd be a hell of a show.
That would
Sarge
be.
And the Rick. I
and
like
Sean
it a lot.
Sean Silver's sticking around, too, so we can always...
better now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, you know what? Maybe
Three Stooges. Let's go.
Just hold it down with a Band-Aid, fellas.
All right. Let's get to it. Here's the headlines from Sarge, and then we're right back here live from Atkinson Resort and Country Club, the Hoosier Caddy Classic.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Red Sox got a 5-2 win over the Blue Jays yesterday at Fenway Park. Mookie Betts and the Sox at the All-Star break. They're the best team in the major leagues, 38 games above 500. All right, we'll hold off on that. Sox will be back to work Friday night in Detroit against the Tigers. ESPN reporting today the Red Sox and the Braves both interested in dealing for Kansas City third baseman Mike Moustakas at the trade deadline in just a couple of weeks. Some NFL news today. Pittsburgh Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell could sign a long-term deal with the team as early as today. Pro Football Talk reporting if Bell doesn't sign a multi-year deal by 4 o'clock, then he'll only be able to sign a one-year contract. In golf, Michael Kim won the John Deere Classic at 27 under par. And yes, the British Open will get underway Thursday morning. Headlines brought to you by Wendy's. Wendy's new 4 for $4 now has more choices than ever. I'm Mike Riley. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
So, at the Beatles. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Arcand are live at the Atkinson Resort and Country Club for the Who's Your Caddy Classic on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, back here live at Atkinson Resort and Country Club. It's Arcand and Zolak. Arcand in for Beetle here on the midday program, the Who's Your Caddy Classic, taking place here in about 2 hours, 3 hours, I should say. Let's get to your phone call. 617-779-0985 is the number. Let's try CJ in Dorchester again. CJ, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey.
Hey, thanks for picking me back up again.
Thanks for hanging.
No problem. So I think there's just too many intangibles both ways. I think that obviously you don't know what's going to happen. You have some of these guys, pitchers, Porcello, Price, that have a really awful resume in the postseason. But I feel like with the postseason, first of all, you got a manager that I trust a lot more than John Farrell.
True.
I know I don't have any reason to, but he's just another person.
So no, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. It feels better, doesn't it? There's a likability factor with Alex Cora, and it seems like he's an everyday, regular old guy that's going to tell you everything that you need to know. And I think he's honest.
Well, the other thing, too, is that, I mean, I feel like the postseason is about who is doing well right now. So if Brian Johnson, I mean, I know he just got back and he pitched a decent, you know, he had a couple of good frames. I think if you see in the next month or the last couple of weeks, if pitchers are hot, they're going to start them. They're going to have Chris Sale in there, obviously, even though he kind of tanked in the postseason last year. But they're going to look for who's playing better right now. Nobody looks good historically on the Sox.
CJ, you're out. Oh, hung up on him. Sorry, CJ. I thought he was done. Had a little twitchy finger there. Alex Cora, the manager, obviously there's a lot of different things about him and his style that I think most people like. I think so far it's been a positive reaction to him. Is that something? Is his influence and the fact that he's there now and not John Farrell something that can make a difference in September and October?
I mean, what's the big decision that, you know, it's really going to haunt this team, say, when it's money time with him? And we don't know that yet. Is it Is it leaving a guy in too long? Is it? I think they're smarter. They've gotten smarter running the bases lately.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it wasn't good to start the year.
Not been
but
great.
I mean, I do think their decision making and their ability to play and have energy is better.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like they're all sort of pulling in the same direction now as opposed to last year when it seemed like there was a lot more divisions. And, you know, obviously the whole narrative of them being an unlikable team, I think, followed them around a lot. It's mostly the same team this year. The only difference is Alex Cora, and I feel like that reputation's almost gone.
Well, the story was, too, that Farrell didn't relate to the younger players.
Right.
And if you're going to have this type of team, a young team that, you know, sort of wants that type of manager the Cora is, that's better for the team moving forward.
Yeah, I
don't look at the team right now and say, boy, one of the negative things or something that I can worry about playoff time or when it comes to playoff time is Alex Cora. He doesn't fit in a negative category. I think he's one of the positives.
Yeah, I think he's done
even
good.
Even though he's raw.
In-game decisions, sort of all that stuff. The one thing the only thing I miss about John Farrell was that he handled the bullpen well. John Farrell was good at sort of pulling the right strings in the bullpen,
and
I thought, last
guys,
year. And he was good at that. Cora, not so much, but he's not been terrible. I just think the bullpen is, in general, sort of an issue for this team and something that I hope Dombrowski fixes at the deadline. Let's go to Danny in Somerville. He's next on Zolak and Bertrand. Hey, Danny, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
What's up?
So just in regards to the fan base, Zoe, you said it's a different day and age. You know, back in 2004, we knew everything about these players. Now with fantasy being what it is, DraftKings, FanDuel, ESPN, we just look at these guys more as a chip or, you know, a piece of our team as opposed to investing in the player itself when they play for our team being the Red Sox.
I don't even think fantasy impacts baseball from a negative standpoint. If anything, I think it impacts football because you watch games differently when you watch football.
True.
Or you flip on the Red Zone channel. You don't have that in baseball. You know more about players because you're forced to play fantasy baseball and, you know, you got to administer the names and you go through rosters a little bit more. But I don't think baseball has a problem right now because of fantasy. I think it speaks volumes that Benintendi didn't get in.
Yeah.
That's a lack of passion or, I don't know, you want to say the fan base is smarter? I don't know.
I think if fantasy baseball was even bigger and more popular, it would be more helpful because I feel like the people who play like daily fantasy baseball know a lot more of the players on various teams and who they are and who's on a hot streak and who's this, that, whatever, as opposed to just a Red Sox fan. Doesn't know who any, like the home run derby, for example. We were just talking about this. Who the hell are these guys in the home run derby? You never even heard of half of them. But if you're playing daily fantasy baseball, you probably know who they are because you're following who's on a hot streak, who's best to play that day, who has a good matchup against a certain pitcher, all these sorts of things. But in general, for like the casual baseball fan, you're going to watch this derby tomorrow and be like, who the hell are any of these people other than...
What is it, tomorrow?
It's tomorrow night.
It's tonight.
It's tonight.
The All-Star game is tomorrow.
See, we don't even know the damn time of the game. Like, I would watch more World Cup than I would this stupid home run derby.
Yeah, the derby's tonight. The All-Star game is tomorrow. And outside of Bryce Harper, there's no one in this game with any sort of star power whatsoever. And I always sort of felt like in the derby especially, you need at least two guys, right? Two guys to face off against each other, Stanton and Judge or Stanton and whoever. Like, I mean, there has to be one guy and then another guy over there. And back in the day, it used to be everybody was a name that you knew about and cared about and wanted to watch. Now it's like it's Bryce Harper. He's only doing it because it's home in D.C. and a bunch of guys who you just no one cares about, even on their own teams.
Right.
Max Muncy, like really?
Is he related to Chuck Muncy?
I don't know if he is or not.
Former running back for San Diego, right? Chuck Muncy.
Could be.
I think he spells it with a Y, not an I.
That doesn't really matter.
Oh yeah, okay.
What about legalizing betting though? That could help baseball. Legalized sports betting might help baseball because in a random summer night, it's the only thing you can bet.
Right.
And if people want to bet it, they're going to watch it.
Yeah, the only thing to watch tomorrow night is, you know, from a Red Sox standpoint, you're rooting for the American League because you want home field advantage.
Yeah.
If you get there.
Pretty much.
Because the team is better at Fenway.
How many innings of this are you going to watch tomorrow, would you think?
Maybe one.
One inning?
One and a half? I don't know. It's not even a half inning. One and a third? I don't know. One and two-thirds?
I never really cared that much about the All-Star game to begin with. But, man, it's just even – and as they try and add more importance onto it over the years by making it count for the home field and all of that, that just made me care about it less.
I don't even watch that much TV anymore, but I could probably pick 11 different shows I'd rather watch than this stupid game tomorrow night.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's the only thing going on all week. This is the one of the more
dead
times in the sports calendar.
Football in 1 week, people. Don't worry.
That's coming up very soon. And I do have some thoughts. I want to pick your brain a little bit, Zoe, on the Patriots and some of the questions that are – swirling around them as we go into camp here next week, really? Wow.
Yep. next Thursday.
Man, where did the summer go?
We'll be down there live next
Thursday.
It's
almost August. Damn. We'll get into some of that a little bit. Some unanswered questions, some unanswered, unresolved beef still swirling around right now. The Gronkowski question, I think, is still a big one. And did this team get better in the offseason, I think, is a big question a lot of Patriots fans can't really answer in the affirmative.
You're going to laugh. You know what I watched? Was it yesterday or the day before? It was the Tennessee playoff game.
Okay.
Just to watch guys like Geno Grissom, you know, jumping off sides and trying to blame him here, but it was really a neutral zone infraction. Just the control they had on offense. You know, they were down early in that game, 7-0. Mm-hmm. They ended up taking a 14-7 lead. Next thing you know, they're stepping on the gas and just watching Brady control the clock.
Yeah.
And you see guys like Deion Lewis and there's Nate Solder getting key blocks. There's a lot of stuff we got to get into as far as, you know, when Brady steps in that huddle, it's going to look a little bit different. It really is.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show you what a force Gronkowski is when he's healthy and when he's out there, because that's what they needed. That's what they went to get that game going.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. Arcand and Zolak here, live from the Atkinson Resort and Country Club, the 2018 Hoosier Caddy Classic. Quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Sports radio can be in your face with passion.
Paralyzes the entire nervous system.
Like us on Facebook and continue the conversation.
I'll do it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
617-779-0985. That is the phone number here. Zolak and Bertrand. Christian Arcand in for Bertrand, live in New Hampshire on remote for the Hoosier Caddy Classic. We got about a week. I can't believe the summer is almost, though. I mean, we're almost to August here, but it's a week away. Patriots training camp. And, well,
thank God.
You know, Zolak,
thank you, Jesus.
I think that there's certainly an element of that, like, thank goodness that football's back, but there's also some lingering things from the last time these guys all got together, and some of them who didn't get together, some of them who didn't show up, and that's still sort of hanging in the air here. Is that something you think is going to follow this team around going into the preseason?
Yeah, absolutely, and because you know they're going to protect Gronkowski. Mm-hmm. How many preseasons has it been now since Gronk actually took a snap or didn't? Take a snap, it's at least three.
I thought he played last year in preseason, though.
Did he? I don't think so.
I thought he was fully cleared, ready to go, and he played last year.
He was fully cleared. Did they dressed him out. I don't think they played him. Maybe I'm crazy. But
last time I remember him playing was his rookie year when he dragged James Laurinaitis into the end zone.
Correct.
And we first realized, oh, man, this guy's pretty good.
Yeah, he's got some potential. Huh?
That was the last preseason game I remember from him.
But
was
I mean,
when he did that.
You know, and to watch him, as I said, I watched that Titans game again, the playoff game. And just to see the way, you know, he commands coverage or the way it goes to him, and that's how it sets. You know, they had that Cyprian on him for a while early in that game, and they tried to put Byard on him, and they just started to mix things up because you really don't have an answer for him. And, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they'll try and put corners on him.
Right.
You can't match up on him with corners. It's safety with safety help.
Yeah.
He played in the preseason last year against the Texans.
Jesus.
Did he really? Well, I must have completely slipped my mind there. That being said, though, with Gronk obviously is the focal point of the offense going into it, and with Julian Edelman out for the first four games, Josh McDaniel, I mean, that's a big ask for him. Now, you have to sort of, you don't have to change the whole offense around, but in terms of pass catchers in particular, Chris Hogan is probably your number one wide receiver. I'd say Phil Dorsett is probably next on the list there. That's right. I mean, is there a challenge here for Josh McDaniel on what he has to do in order to make this offense run a little bit?
Yeah, and I think that's a million-dollar question for me, you know, heading in. You know, more so than Brady, Gronkowski, the relationship with Bill, blah, blah, blah. It's, where's Josh McDaniels? Mm. Nobody's talked about him.
Yeah.
Nobody's heard from him. We really didn't see him at any of the workouts, you know, in the offseason, talking about going out and scouting guys. We ended up getting word that, okay, he was meeting with Baker Mayfield. He was meeting with, you know, Lamar Jackson prior to the draft. How's he going to adapt here while trying to figure out what are we going to do with that Edelman? And that's going to be the tease, is because Edelman's clear. You're going to be able to practice with him.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be able to play him in preseason games. But at some point, you got to turn that page for the first four games and figure out, what are we as an offense? And, I mean, I really don't look at the offense and say, boy, the running back position is such a strength for them. I like Burkhead. I know what Burkhead brings.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been often injured.
Yep.
You don't have Deion Lewis. And I love Deion Lewis. I think he's a game changer. James White is your money guy on third down. Here's what I worry about with James White. Is he going to be forced to do a lot of, I don't want to say dirty work, but, you know, ideally you'd like to bring him in on third down or second and long, and he's more of a passing situation type guy. I think a protection a protection issue can arise here, because you got a new tackle on the backside. Solder's not going to be there. Do we know it's going to be Trent Brown?
I have no idea.
They got to get him going. I know. I mean, he's a big individual, but if Skarnecchia can't get through to the head, there's a reason Trent Brown was available.
Right.
I mean, they didn't value him, did San Francisco. And they got a young quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo that you want to protect. So I'm concerned there. And then Deion Lewis was a better pass protector than people gave him credit for. He would step up in there, stick his nose in there, get up in the hole. I don't know who can do that. I think James White can do that, but then I worry about wearing James White down.
How about the rookie?
I don't know. We're going to find out.
Tough to say.
Yeah.
And it could end up being that with the
Doesn't it say something that they drafted him?
Yeah.
According to this running back group? Because somebody's getting cut. Jeremy Hill's here.
Mike Gillisley?
Gillisley. Yeah, somebody's got to get cut.
You would think. And I don't know. I wouldn't miss a lot of those guys. I feel like you can't have that many running backs in the first place anyway. And if this Michelle kid is as good as he's cracked up to be, and that was a really good pick.
They say he is.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I think that could end up being, you know, a big part of what this offense is in the first four games. They could really start reemphasizing the run game here and kind of changing the look of what we've seen over the last, I don't know, 15 years with this offense.
Yeah, and I really don't think that, you know, historically they stick a rookie running back in there and say, go ahead, and you're the first guy in the huddle.
You know, did it with Maroney.
That's what you got to go back to. Didn't they do a little
bit? It didn't go well either. So.
Ridley. Didn't Ridley get some snaps early in his career, too?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Ridley
he and Vereen were sort of comboed there.
Ridley filled it when Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis finally left. He sort of took over after that. So, yeah, it was you've seen smaller examples of it, but not first-round pick examples. There's only been two of those, Maroney and now this kid. And so we'll see what the intentions are. Let's go to the phones here. 617-779-0985. Dylan's in the car. What's up, Dylan? Dylan. Dylan in the car. Let's go ahead and pop him on hold and try. How about Troy in Dorchester? What's up, Troy? Okay, then. Let's go ahead and now I don't know what this means. Access parameters of the workstation. I'm going to say I'm going to let Jim handle that one, and we'll try and get back to the calls later. We had him for a minute, though.
Tom can punch him up. Tom, you wanted to punch up Troy in Dorchester on line one?
Calls were working. I swear this did happen.
No, they're there.
They're on the phone. It's just the whole on the air thing is what we're you know, it's the first day, second day,
it's first
whatever.
Day, and plus we're on location.
We're off on a remote here. These things are bound to happen. What are you going to do? 617-779-0985. Jump on hold. We'll get to you as soon as we get this.
Folks,
all
we apologize.
Out.
Thank you for holding. We do see the calls. We just can't pop them up right now. But talking Patriots with you, and I think there is an excitement about this team.
Yeah, there certainly is.
Yeah, talking to people down there, they're worried about crowds. They are early because, I mean, we had massive crowds last year. But with this potentially, you know, maybe being Brady's last year, I think the expectations of the amount of people, they're going to be there. But let's not also forget that there are no joint practices this year.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
I heard that. I heard that, Belichick wanted to do it and couldn't quite find a partner to get it done with. I wonder what that's sort of all about.
Well, supposedly the Redskins are pricks and there's a lot of infighting within, so they don't really want to lose control. And Bill really values those reps and likes to control the practices. So I don't know if they respect Washington. I know he's had great working relationships with Houston, obviously, and Jacksonville came in.
New Orleans got
a little chippy last year. Yep, New Orleans, good point. Yeah.
Well,
so not having those on the schedule this year, I don't want to say hurts them, but you know, it's not ideal.
Yeah. How about the Brady-Belichick dynamic going into this? Are they going to be able to put things aside here? Is there going to be tension? Do you think that we'll see another, I don't want to say falling out, but a continuation of what we saw in the voluntary OTAs?
I don't know. I mean,
How long does this grudge hold, I guess?
Is there really a grudge? And at some point, you got to get on, you got to move on, you got to play football. Bill's got to get the team ready. Tom's got to get himself mentally ready at the age of 41, which is what he'll be, you know, when the season starts. So we'll see. I mean, that's the big thing. What are you going down there as a fan? You're going to watch those two.
Mm-hmm.
You want to see the interaction.
Right.
Is there going to be an interaction?
If there isn't, that's going to be a big story if there's no interaction.
Well, not only that, don't forget, you mentioned Josh McDaniels. So Josh runs the offense. Where do you think the head coach, with his background, is going to be? On a defensive field or on the offensive field? Matt Patricia's not here.
Yeah.
So you got Brian Flores. I know they're not going to give him the tag of coordinator, but he's the pseudo-offense defensive coordinator. If I'm Bill Belichick, I'm spending most of my time to make sure that this defense is right. The biggest questions are, is the defense going to be good enough to hold teams down?
Yeah.
To give Brady the ball and outscore people. So If there's any concerns with the head coach, I think it would be with the defensive end of the field.
Did the defense get worse in the offseason?
No, I thought they got better.
You think they got better? Yeah. Losing Butler and...
But it depends. You know, what's the jump for Stephon Gilmore year one to year two? And from everybody I talked to, their safeties are strong.
Safeties are fine.
Safeties are fine. And everybody keeps talking about what an offseason Gilmore's having. Mm-hmm. That terminology-wise, another year into it, he's going to be better, less thinking, more reacting. They found out what he does well, what he doesn't do well. They'll self-scout. At the end of the year, I thought he was playing really well.
Yeah.
He's a big reason they got to where they were.
Gilmore definitely, I thought, showed out towards the end of the year. I look at the D-line and think they'll be better.
You got Hightower back.
Hightower's back. I like the Claiborne acquisition. I think that Malcolm Brown, Flowers, and all those guys are going to continue to progress and develop. The linebacker position, though, I think is still a real problem.
Yeah, you're getting Rivers back, too, off the knee. Dietrich Wise, I mean, they're going to be better. They are going to be better. And that's going to help guys like Trey Flowers, too.
Yeah.
Be more of a situational role type guy where he could go and get the passer.
All right. 617-779-0985. That is your phone number. We're working on getting the calls back up, so if you're holding online, please be patient. We will get to you in the next hour. In the meantime, we got the headlines from Sarge. No commercials here, just Sarge and the headlines, and then we're back here live from the Hoosier Caddy Classic at Atkinson Resort and Country Club in Atkinson, New Hampshire, right after this.